Dead center of the work week right here. We have reached the pinnacle of the mountain. I'm about to jump off, actually, and depart and leave you high and dry to go through the rest of the week by yourself. But you know what? Some of you have left me high and dry. Producer Jay, left me high and dry.
Whoa.
Yeah, you already went on your extended summer vacation, and I had to be here to hold the fort.
Now it's your turn.
Yeah, so I'm saying it's my turn, finally, to be able to jet out. And I'm actually, yes, taking a jet. I haven't done that since April. Not since I went to Wisconsin in April have I flown. And I know it's been dicey this summer. So I don't know. It's a Wednesday and the flight and the airline that I'm using are generally reliable. I've done this same flight and airline multiple times to get to Houston. But because of any number of things that could go wrong, I suppose I should be prepared for the long haul at the airport if that's what it comes to. It's fine. The pets will be taken care of. And I just got to make sure I don't fall asleep while I'm waiting for the plane and then I miss it somehow. No, that's not me. I don't sleep on planes. I don't sleep upright. I don't sleep in public places. I'm not one of those people who can let my guard down, I guess, enough to be able to sleep when there's people staring at me or walking all around. It's just not me.
No one's looking.
It doesn't even matter if you're looking. It's just I can't. I mean, my stuff and my bag, my wallet, like I can't ever sleep.
You have you know where you're sitting in the row, aisle seat or window or middle?
I almost always choose windows. So on the way there, I have an exit row on the window.
That's the perfect sleeping spot on a plane.
It is. Just have to, but I don't sleep when there's people moving all around. And I don't sleep generally when we're taking off. So we'll see. I haven't slept on a plane since before my Africa trip. So I went to Africa in 2011. Wow, I can't believe it's been over a decade ago. And on the way there, we were in the plane for 20 hours. It included a fuel stop, but we were on the plane for 20 hours. I took Tylenol PM and slept 5 minutes. Sucked.
That sounds like a really long flight.
It was awful. On the way back, we were in the tube for 24 hours because we're coming from the east coast of Africa and going into the headwind. And I slept not at all. And not since then have I been able to sleep on planes. I don't know. Something broke on that trip and I've not been able to sleep on a plane since.
24 hours in the air just kind of.
It was awful.
Shocked
no,
the system.
It was being miserable. It was just, I was miserable the entire time. Because two weeks in Africa was hard physically. We camped in the bush. There were times we were without electricity and running water and all that kind of stuff. So it was a physically difficult and challenging trip. And the way back, I guess, we're just all out of sorts. Oh, gosh. Our group came back with parasites and like all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it was a rough physical trip. It was worth it, but it was rough.
Did you take any shot or anything like that coming back into the country?
All kinds of shots. No, not coming back.
When you go there,
going. Yeah. We had to take malaria pills. We had to take all kinds of different shots. Hep A, Hep B, tetanus, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, we were on a lot of different meds. But it was worth it. It was worth it to do the ministry and to work with. Gosh, we had a kids' day. 400 kids showed up. It was insane. I had a couple of stations. One of mine was tug of war. They will keep tugging and pulling until, like, they're off the property. They drag the other people. Eventually, you have to yell at them to let go. But also, we did this game where we got as many kids as we could onto a ginormous tire. How many kids can you get, whether it's, like, clinging on to the people in front of you or in the middle or kind of climbing on. Oh, it was a mass of bodies. But the stuff that they find interesting and fun and fascinating, you know, they can be entertained by a rope or a tire or face paint. We had a face paint station, 400 kids.
Well, I need to know now how many kids got on the tire.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I have photos. I'll have to look it up. We had so much fun. Oh my gosh, it was incredible. But yet it was also challenging. Anyway, I don't know how I got on that. Africa, planes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We're going to push it off now 30 minutes from this point on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or you can find me on Twitter. A-Law Radio. And then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, you want to make sure you check out our YouTube channel as well. Not only do we have a new video that will soon, we think, be shared exclusively to our YouTube channel. It's called the After Hours After Party, except it kind of dawned on producer Jay and I that after hours, we don't actually feel like having a party because we're so tired. Oh, you never know what you're going to get with two exhausted people. Dude.
It could be shocking.
Well, it was that. And so you want to make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel because there will be some exclusive content that we'll be posting there in the fall. And then also, we've got your chance to join us on Survivor Island. So better late than never. I know it's a little bit later than what we've done in the past, but producer Jay has reopened Survivor Island for business. And this is our version of the Survivor pool. The thing that I tell you is that you better watch out because I will shove you into shark-infested waters and you'll never know what hits you. But here's the deal. You get to do it to me because I've never made it past week 6 in a Survivor pool ever.
You had a good run last season, I remember,
did.
Right?
I think I got to week 5. I got to the second month.
I feel like you got further than that.
Well, then I got to week 6. But I died in week 6 because I had to swim with the sharks in week 6. Because I've never made it past week 6. I would remember if I had. Never made it past week 6.
I think I was out after week 2 or 3, so not my best showing.
Yeah, I stink at these.
Gotta
but
redeem myself.
I keep trying. Anyway, don't we have an office pool as well? Did you join?
We do have one. I haven't joined yet. I was thinking of. Have you joined?
No, not yet. In fact, I just found out from Cynthia Freeland last hour that we're actually going to have our fantasy football league again because I was kind of nervous about whether or not we were going to have our league again. Anyway, all of that to say, football's busy. We've got a lot of fun ways that we're going to expand the After Hours universe. And one of those ways that we want you to be part of, one of those activities, is Survivor Island. So join us if you... Do we have the link? Did you post the link?
I haven't. If you were in our
right,
in the
but if you weren't
year,
in the league
right,
last
I
year,
I can make a post and have the link up there. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
And then we'll pin that to the top of our Twitter and Facebook pages, and we'll promote it. The issue, of course, is that I'm not going to be here for the next 5 days, so you're going to have to do it without me. That's kind of the problem. Is we need to put it on social because I'm not going to be here to promote it. So let's do that. Our show Twitter and our Facebook page, again, same place that you can send your questions for Ask Amy. That's where you'll find the link to Survivor Island. But as Jay started to say before I cut in so rudely, if you were part of it a year ago or the year before that, well, then the email should automatically generate and come to your inbox because you were part of it before and it's inviting you to rejoin. How about that? Okay. I think we took care of all the business. Did we take care of all the business?
Business taken care of.
Whew. There's so much business this time of the year. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's baseball season. It's football season. It's not basketball season. But this is important. And maybe you saw the headlines. But maybe you haven't yet heard John Wall in his own words. At 31 years old, he's gone through a very difficult stretch of his life, personally and professionally. Over the last 3 years, you may remember he was traded to Houston and things went so horribly wrong, the James Harden mess, when he refused to play. But then the Rockets, of course, were trying to rebuild and they didn't even want him to play the last couple years. So 3 years in a row now, he's been limited with injuries, with COVID, and then the Rockets' decision not to play him. Only 40 games for John Wall over the last 3 years. That's fewer than Kyrie Irving, for heaven's sakes. 40 games over the last 3 years. And while all of that is happening, he loses his mom and COVID and challenge after challenge, after setback after setback, after dark time after dark time. And so he was at a garden dedication earlier this month. This is dedicated to his late mom at the Salvation Army in Raleigh, North Carolina. His mom had been a volunteer at the Salvation Army before she passed away in December of 2019. She was facing breast cancer, and she died at the age of 58. His grandmother died not long after that. At the same time, he was rehabbing from a torn Achilles. I mean, a lot of us have been in stretches of our lives where everything seems to be wrong. Everything points to there's no way out. I'm stuck. It's going to be this way forever. Seems like there's no hope. There's no light. There's no way out. There's no future. It's nothing but darkness and grief, pain, sadness, struggle. And professional athletes are not immune to that. I mean, think of Dak Prescott. He went through a stretch like that as well, where he lost a brother and had a lot of other challenges that he was going through. And again, he's just one example. There's so many examples that you can think of. Alex Smith, what he went through. Carl Anthony Towns, losing his mom, but also a number of family members struggling with COVID over the last couple of years. So John Wall recently sat down and had an honest, frank, open conversation with all of these challenges in mind about what the past 2 years have been like for him.
Darkest place I've ever been in. I mean, at one point in time, I thought about committing suicide. I mean, because tearing my Achilles, my mom being sick, my mom passing, my grandma passed a year later. All this in the midst of COVID at the same time. Me going to the chemotherapy and sitting in there, me seeing my mom take her last breath, wearing the same clothes for 3 days straight, laying on the couch beside her. You know what I mean? Like, all those sacrifices, not having a great support family behind me, my team, the mother of my kids has been great. My two boys is my motivation for me. So, like, looking at all that, and I'm like, if I can get through this, I can get through anything in life. And I don't like to brag about it, because, like, everybody goes through something. You know, we all went through tough times. Nobody got it easy. But I don't think a lot of people could get through what I went through. And to me, to be back on top where I want to be and see the fans still want me to play, having support from my hometown, this support period means a lot. And it's a time where I had to go find a therapist. You know, a lot of people think I don't need help. I can get through it at any time. But you got to be true to yourself and find out what's best for you. And I did that.
So a lot there. But right off the top, you hear him say, at one point in time, I thought about committing suicide. And over the course of the pandemic, going back to 2020, the numbers among young people specifically, now he's 31, so not the same age group, but every group of Americans saw a rise in the number of people who had suicidal thoughts or who considered suicide. Again, in large part, result to the isolation and the pandemic. And so he is certainly not alone. He's not probably even in the strict minority. There are lots of people, hundreds of thousands of people that could tell you a similar story, whatever they were facing in their own lives. Obviously, the pandemic and COVID exacerbated it. Loss of loved ones, the injuries, being away from the team, everything else. I appreciate his candor, and I know that it's becoming more common for athletes, celebrities, musicians, just stars in general, household names, to admit their struggles with mental health, to admit that no matter what it looks like on the outside, that they've had struggles that have led them to these kind of dark thoughts and dark places. And by him speaking out, it reminds a basketball fan here or a basketball fan there who maybe is facing similar things and wondering what's the point of going on. There is no hope. Hey, you're not alone. And I like, to his encouragement, to talk to a therapist because it's extremely helpful. I did it when I was in college and I was struggling with some issues pertaining to my father and my family. I went through 8 weeks of it, and the breakthrough at the end of it changed my life. I've never been back to that place. It changed my life. And so the encouragement to talk to someone, but also his reliance upon the mother of his children and his boys. He says, we're all going through times. Nobody's got it easy. I went to find a therapist. A lot of people think, I don't need help. I can get through it anytime. But you've got to be true to yourself and find out what's best for you. And then what a perspective. If I can get through this, I can get through anything in life. And now he's a member of the Clippers. So it feels like it's a fresh start. But thank you, John Wall, for speaking out, for being honest, for telling the truth and not exhibiting this false persona, this false bravado, this false sense of I'm invincible, because a lot of celebrities may seem like that on the outside. I'm invincible. You can't touch me. Nothing can hurt me. I'm tough, which means I can't admit weakness. I'm tough, which means I can't admit that I'm feeling pain or that I'm struggling. No, these are still real people. They have incredible talents and skills and abilities. In his case with a basketball, Kevin Love's case with a basketball, but football players, Brandon Marshall's talked about his struggles with mental health. Yeah, they're really good at what they do. So am I. It doesn't mean that you don't face mental health challenges and that you don't struggle with the rest of life. And so I appreciate John Wall. John Wall Foundation released this conversation as he was honoring his mom with a garden dedication. Definitely talk to someone. Admit it when you need help. It might seem easier to keep it inside, but it's not. It'll eat you up from the inside. So good for John. I'm glad he's in a much better place. And I can't wait to see him on the basketball court again, because it's been a while since we've seen him dominate. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Man, we haven't even started football season yet, and already it feels like we can't get to everything. It was like this during the summertime. It was like this during the springtime before we got to summer, where it also had the same feeling to it. No matter how much I try, I just can't get to everything. I could do nothing but, well, I'd never read you scores, but I could do nothing but go through all of the events and the happenings and not give you my opinion or react to them, but that's not why you tune in. And so I guess we'll just continue to be in a place where 4 hours isn't quite long enough. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us, our hump show, middle show of the work week. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. And coming up now, inside of 15 minutes, your chance to ask Amy anything. You can do that on our Facebook page as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get to some QB news coming up next hour. For instance, there's only one quarterback left on the Dallas Cowboys roster after roster cuts. And suddenly, Baker Mayfield has PJ Walker as a backup. We also are waiting for a decision from Mike Tomlin about his starting quarterback. But this is funny, though. Are you ready, Coach Tomlin, to finally share the name of your QB1?
No, I'm not.
All right. Great. Kyle Shanahan as well, reacting to the Jimmy Garoppolo contract restructuring and the fact that he will, at least for now, remain a member of the San Francisco 49ers. There's just a lot happening, and we'll get to as much as we possibly can. John Gruden speaking out for the first time since he was forced to resign. He wasn't really fired. He did actually resign, and Mark Davis swears that it wasn't his decision. It was John Gruden, so you'll hear from him again, too. But in these couple minutes before we hit the bottom of the hour and the update, I want to make sure you hear what I heard on Tuesday afternoon. I turned on my computer and I opened up a browser, and my browser often shares news items or sports stories or even entertainment elements that the browser thinks I might be interested in. And I can tell it's based on what you've clicked on in the past for sure. At the very top was the link to a CBS This Evening, CBS News story that was done on the Matt Araiza situation. And I know it's not just a lawsuit against Matt Araiza. There are other former San Diego State athletes that are named. He's the one, though, who people are talking about because he was in the NFL when the lawsuit was filed last Thursday and this became public. We had heard from the Bills. We'd heard from the attorney for the alleged victim. We had heard a statement or received a statement from Araiza's family. We had not heard from the young woman herself until this CBS story. And so I watched the whole thing. It's actually on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. I would encourage you to go and listen to the exchange with the reporter, but also to hear what the young woman had to say. In fact, I'm going to retweet it right now. Again, A-Law Radio. These are just a couple of snippets. She is 18 years old. This incident that she outlines in the lawsuit happened last fall when she was a minor, 17 years old. And it's disturbing. There's no way around that. Again, this is Jane Doe. She's not been identified. And these clips are, they're short, but I want you to at least hear her voice and hear a couple of the details that she shares.
I was having to deal with this horrible traumatic experience that I never asked for.
They threw me down onto the bed, face down, and they took turns assaulting me from behind, other things.
So just a couple of short clips. There's more. If you check out the story and the piece that was done on the CBS Evening News, you'll hear her. Now, her face and body are darkened, so there's no way to tell who she is unless you would recognize her voice. But just even hearing that very short clip from her version of what she went through on the night in question makes me sick to my stomach. CBS also asked for a comment from the attorney for Matt Araiza. And then when you hear him, you will hear Jane Doe react to that.
He had what we call the deep pockets of these three young men. And I still think it's a money grab on her part on behalf of Mr. Araiza.
That makes me really sick to the stomach. I reported it a day after it happened. I was 17 years old and I had no idea who Matt Araiza was.
So she has filed a civil lawsuit. At this point, presumably because the authorities have not filed criminal charges, and it's now been nearly a year. And we had heard from the San Diego State football coach, Brady Hoke, as well as the athletic director, that they are just now starting their own investigation because the San Diego authorities told them to wait until the official police investigation was done. The last I knew, the last I read, the district attorney was considering whether or not to file criminal charges. But I can understand why she went the civil route. It's been almost a year since she reported the assault, since she went to the hospital, since she had a rape kit done. By the way, the story that CBS did, and please just go watch it on my Twitter. It's there. It includes the photos that were taken after the night in question. She is bruised and banged up on multiple parts of her body. Or that's what the photos would indicate. So there were photos taken from the authorities and forensic evidence that was collected. She did do what a lot of young people are afraid to do. She spoke up about what she said happened to her at 17 years old. I admire her bravery. Even now, I can only imagine the trauma if what she says is true. You hear the attorney say that it's a money grab. I mean, I haven't heard any money listed, but she says she had no idea that he was a football player or a punter and that it has nothing to do with it, that she went to the authorities right away. So we've now got Jane Doe speaking out, and you can hear her voice along with Matt Araiza's family in a statement. And then, of course, the attorneys and the Bills, too, who I think would prefer just to step out now and not have to deal with it again. And to that end, of course, they caught him on Saturday. Again, check it out on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And all you have to do is Google it. It's out there. Coming up next, Ask Amy Anything, part of The Hump Show. So you've got a couple minutes left to send your questions to either Twitter or Facebook.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
It is our hump show, middle show of the work week, and we've moved Ask Amy back to what we'll call the OG, the original spot. We kind of been tinkering with it, moving it around, and different portions of the audience will hear it then, and we'll probably continue to move it. But on this edition of the show, it's back where it's found a home. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks, as always, for sending your questions to our show Twitter or to our Facebook page. All right, Jay. Can I just tell you something really quick before you do this? I'm going to ask you a question. Why on Twitter is, are you ready? Why is this trending in the U.S.? Butthole surfers.
Oh, that's a band. I don't know why it's trending, but that is a band. They got a really good song called Pepper.
No.
Yeah, they're from the 90s. Oh. That's the only song I know by them. But
Butthole Surfers?
That's I hope they're referring to the band, because that's definitely a band name.
Okay,
from
the 90s, I'm not looking. I refuse. Anyway, that's my question for you. Now it's your turn.
Yeah, I'm gonna skip that one and assume it's trending for the wrong reasons, not all the right band. So I'll
Well, it is capitalized.
All right, let's jump into this. So since you will be going on vacation in a matter of hours and going on an airplane, I thought this question was appropriate to start with. Nancy wants to know, what is the funniest or weirdest thing you've ever seen on a plane?
Funniest or weirdest?
Funniest or weirdest, or both.
That's interesting. I mean, when we were in Africa, the weirdest was the smell. Oh my gosh, the smell on the airplane in Africa was just brutal. So that was something that I mean, it was one of those times where you wish you were wearing a mask, but that was like pre-mask wearing for the most part. So that was definitely weird. It was odd. Africa just smells differently in many places, in many cases. And we stopped to refuel in Dakar, I think. And then the smell. So that was one thing. The funniest that I've ever seen on an airplane. I mean, you know, there are people who have pets now, and it's crazy. Like, people bring their cats and their dogs and, like, everything else on the plane. I mean, I've had all kinds of experiences and interactions with people that would creep me out, like people who don't stop talking to you, that kind of stuff. But I would say, I'll tell this story. It's not funny, actually. It was scary as heck. But my two experiences with a plane that I always think about when people ask me about flying. Number one, a couple years ago, I was going to Ecuador, and there was really bad fog in Quito, and so they rerouted us to another city in Ecuador. And twice they tried to land the plane, only to, at the very last second, pull up and take off again because the fog was so bad they couldn't see the end of the runway. But twice, that sensation of landing, descending, at the last second, like pulling up.
Horrifying.
And, oh, yeah, it was horrifying. So that was one thing that happened twice. The same plane, same night, happened twice before they finally decided they couldn't land there. That was one thing. Not as scary, though, as when I was coming home from Ireland, going back to my college days, and we got hit by lightning, or the plane was in a storm. Maybe the plane didn't get hit directly by lightning. We dropped 100 feet in the air. Like, we got hit by something, rocked by either thunder or lightning, something like that. Well, not by thunder, but by lightning. And the plane just dropped, like, bottom out. And you should have heard the screaming in the airplane.
That's even more horrifying.
Oh, it was horrifying. I mean, it only dropped 100 feet, and then it...
Well, that's enough to
no,
do it.
No, but I'm saying, like, it was like a roller coaster, like that kind of a sensation where the bottom just drops out of you. So then the plane stabilized. The plane stabilized, but it was traumatic, and like, we're grabbing people next to us that we don't know. And so, yeah, that was probably the scariest. I know I've been in windy situations with planes where the wings are tipping back and forth, but that was the scariest ever because we literally got hit by something and boom, we just dropped out of the air, and the screaming in there. I mean, it was crazy, the plane. Yeah. So anyway, we came back safely. Hi.
You made it.
Yes, we did, but that was scary.
All right, following up with that one, after all those traumatic stories, Robert asked, driving or flying, which do you prefer?
Well, I'm a road trip girl, so I love driving, but I understand that flying is a necessity when you can't, especially going to Houston. I mean, I've done the drive, and it's 1,600 miles one way, or going internationally, or... So I don't dislike flying, but I love having a car and packed up and a cooler and all my stuff. Just so, yeah, I'm a big road trip girl.
Any road trip stories along those lines of dropping 100 feet from a plane?
No.
Nothing like that?
I mean, we've all had scary close calls, I'm assuming. I mean, I've been stranded before on road trips, but yeah, nothing where I thought I was going to die.
So last one here on the vacation. Steven just asked, are you going to check
on
out Galveston
note,
on your vacation?
I don't know. My mom keeps telling me that we should go to Galveston. But I also know it's a holiday weekend. And I can only imagine Galveston is going to be wall-to-wall bodies. And that's not really something I want to do on my vacation. Spend time hanging out with about 8 million other people on a beach. No, I'm good. Thank you.
How far is that from Houston?
Galveston. Well, it's south. I think it's within an hour, but my mom is actually north of Houston, so it would take a little longer for us. But that's not really the point. It's like everyone and their brother will be in Galveston over Labor Day weekend, so
yeah, avoid
it. I'm good, yeah.
So we went to a Mets game over the weekend, last weekend.
We did.
And I think that might have been where this question is inspired from. Maybe not. Could be wrong. But Gut Boy asks, have you...
What?
Gut Boy?
I wish Gut Boy had a name.
He's Gut Boy. That's what he is. So he asked, have you been to all MLB, NFL, and NBA field stadiums and locations?
No. I've been to a lot of them, but of course not all of them.
All of them would be quite the achievement. But
do you think he was being serious?
I think he was.
Have I been to all baseball, NFL, baseball, football, and did he say NBA?
And NBA. Didn't care about hockey.
All of them. Wow. No, I've been to a lot of them, but I've definitely not been to all of them.
What have you been to the most of, do you think?
Baseball. Baseball, for sure.
All right, moving on from that one. This one comes from a guy named Jay.
I love that you asked that question, even though it couldn't possibly have been serious.
I think it was. And it also just stemmed off of that we were at the stadium over the weekend. So.
Got it. Okay.
Now where was I? All right, this one comes from a guy named Jay, and this is a question that I probably ask you, but it wasn't from me. Just some similar names, similar minds. So Jay asks, if you had a co-ed softball team consisting of characters from Star Wars, who would be on your team and who would coach? So we don't need a full roster here. Give me like a couple guys you might think.
Well, Yoda's the coach because he's got all the wisdom. Do or do not. There is no try. The greatest teacher, failure is. So it would definitely be Yoda who's the coach.
That's a good answer.
Right. And I think then if you would compile your roster of Jedi, you would be in a pretty good place because they can manipulate with the Force where the ball goes and how it goes. And they can also prevent you from being able to swing your bat correctly and accurately at the right trajectory. I mean, they can do all that without lifting a finger or opening their mouths. So I feel like you'd have to stock your team with Jedi. My new favorite Jedi is Kanan Jarrus, by the way. He comes from Star Wars Rebels, which is an animated series that I just finished the 4 seasons of. He's also, by the way, one of those voices at the end of The Rise of Skywalker when Rey is hearing all of the Jedi, be with me, be with me, be with me. He's one of them. So, yes, I would say Kanan Jarrus and Ahsoka. I love Ahsoka now, too. She was in the Clone Wars. I don't know. What do we do with Darth Vader? Do we make him the catcher, the umpire? Do we...
Closer.
The closer? All right. Or can I have Darth Maul?
No, he needs... Darth Vader needs a bigger role than closer. He's got to be on the field at all times.
Darth Maul actually lives. Like, he's got 17 lives and... So he, whether he's got legs or doesn't have legs, is also a formidable force.
I feel like Boba Fett would be a great center fielder.
Obi-Wan's going to play center field.
Okay. I can't argue with that.
Boba Fett can play shortstop.
That was my second position for him.
Because there's nothing that he can't get to. But I mostly want Jedi because it doesn't matter what you try. There's no way that you can beat them. They can see it happening before it happens.
Jabba the Hutt at catcher, maybe? All right, so this one, we were talking about earlier in the week how Halloween candy is out and now pumpkin spice is out and you got your pumpkin spice creamer.
No, pumpkin munchkin.
Pumpkin munchkin creamer
from Dunkin', thank you.
Very specific. So Thomas asks, when do you start listening to Christmas music?
After I put up my Christmas tree, but it's sometimes not even then right away. So generally, I would say midway through December. Unless we're talking about Handel's Messiah, which is my favorite Christmas arrangement. And that one I'll listen to a little bit earlier. But yeah, I'm not a huge Christmas music person. When I take the road trip, oh my gosh, this year I have to go twice to Northern Virginia in the span of a week. Leading up to Christmas, I have to drive twice to Northern Virginia. Oh my gosh. Anyway, I'll be listening to Christmas music then so I don't have road rage with all that traffic. But yeah, probably... early to mid-December. I don't go nutso with it.
All right, we'll close it out here with a little rapid fire. Carpet or wooden floors?
Hardwoods.
Ice cream in a cone or a cup?
Cup.
Connect Four or tic-tac-toe?
I like Connect Four. I always have. Or when I was a kid.
Snowball fight or water balloon fight?
Oh, you know me. I'm all about the snow. Good New Hampshire girl. I'll take snow any day of the week.
Markers or crayons?
Markers are messy. And my kiddos on Sundays, they're constantly writing on the tables. Good thing they're washable markers because they get them everywhere. So I'll go with crayons.
Be a teacher or be a student?
I'm done with my student days. I'm not doing homework anymore. I can teach people how to do radio. I'm never going back to class again.
I hear that. Venmo or PayPal?
Zelle.
Ooh, interesting.
Are you not a Zelle person?
I have become one recently because I use Chase, and that's like a partner now. So recently I have been.
Yeah. People ask me that question. Venmo, PayPal, what's the Cash App? Is there a Cash App?
Yeah, Cash App.
Something like that?
Yeah.
No, I'm a Zelle person. Rob wants to know, when you go away without Penny, who takes care of her? Does she stay at the house? She does now. I've got a brand new house sitter I'm trying out, Rob. Thank you for your concern. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.